Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'm gonna need you to call her now, right now. Yeah, she only stood in here on the same night.
What?
She needs you to call her right now.
Here's with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host Ingrid Green Adams. Evangelist Norma Chapman is the host of Facing Your Fears Blog Talk Radio Show. She's interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She is the author of What Faith Can Do, and she's currently writing three other books. She studied criminal justice and criminal law and attended Union Baptist Theological College in New Orleans. Worked as a criminal and civil private investigator for over 30 years. She's an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. She's a member of First District Missionary Baptist Association Women's Auxiliary. She sits AACP Executive Committee, also the SCLC Justice for Girls. She's a big supporter and loves standing in the gap for domestic violence victims and survivors, and eagerly wants to put an end to domestic violence by getting help for the abusers. Evangelist Norma Chapman's desires to reach out to many people that are living in this deadly environment. Ingrid Green Adams is a 1983 magna cum laude graduate of Southern University in the New Orleans chapter of the NAACP. In her spare time, she enjoys working with children as a youth Bible teacher, mentor, and tutor. She is a lifelong resident of St. Charles Parish. Ladies and gentlemen, Facing Your Fears, with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host, Ingrid Green Adams.
Good afternoon, listeners. Thanking God for another opportunity to come live today on Facing Your Fears radio talk show with your host, yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Sorry that I'm running late on today, opening up the show on today, but we're going to thank God and give him the glory and the praises anyway. Let us have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for another great opportunity that you have given us, Father God, to go forth, Father God, on Facing Your Fears, Father God, to help somebody, Father God, that may be in need, Father God. And we pray that, Father God, everything that we do and say will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Father God, that when it's all over and the show is over on today, Father God, that you may get the glory, Father God. Father God, we want to just thank you, Father God, for this day, for waking us up this morning, Father God. Remember all the sick and the shut-in, Father God, and remember the brief family on today, Father God. These blessings we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. On today, we have special guest Minister Diane Adams, which will be standing in the gap for me on today as your host, in which I have to leave and I won't be available to do the show on today. But Minister Adams have a word from the Lord that she'll be sharing with all of our listeners on today. And I pray that you all stay tuned in as she go forward and bring us a word from God. How you doing, Minister Diane Adams?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Okay, so at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Minister Diane Adams, and she'll be coming from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 8 through 14, and she'll be talking about keeping it moving. Yes, keeping it moving, going upwards, forward, and onward. And I pray that the Lord will use her mighty arm today, and I pray that you all will open up your hearts and your ears and your mind to hear what God is saying to us. We thank you. At this time, Minister Diane Adams.
Good evening, everyone. And I want to thank Evangelist Norma Chapman for giving me the opportunity to be able to share the word of God with all of you on today. I thank God for this opportunity, and I thank God and ask that he bless each and every one of you and the blessings that you're in need of. The title that I'm going to talk about today is Keeping It Moving. And I use scriptures from the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians was written by Paul. We're going to be in the third chapter if you have your Bibles. And we're going to expound on the 8th through the 14th verse. And I just want everybody to be sensitive to what God is saying to you through his word. When we look at the third chapter of Philippians, it was Paul and teaching and talking to the people that practice Judaism religion, the Jews. And Paul was always trying to tell them that something new has happened, which is grace, and trying to get them to realize that the law was not effective and it would not be able to save them. So Paul is teaching and he's talking to the Jews. And if we look at the third chapter and the eighth verse all the way through the 11th verse, it says, ye doubtless. You see, when Paul said ye doubtless, he was letting them know what I'm about to say is certain and it is true, and that it's what's right. He was saying, I'm coming to you with authority and evidence of its proof and that it's right. And he goes on to say all things, but he was going to count all things loss that he may receive the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do not count them. But I count them only as dung. He used the word. And the word dung is like, means the waste of animals. And he said, I count it all as dung for the excellency and the knowledge of God. So we have to just look at what Paul is saying, and we have to realize that Paul is saying that, yes, I used to teach Judaism. Yes, I used to believe it. He said, but I met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He said, my life never was the same. Paul is telling him that there's a new thing that happened. There's a new covenant that God has put in place. And because of that, he's deciding that everything that he used to do, everything that he used to know, he's counting as loss for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul is saying he's willing to give up everything for the excellence of knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, so many people live their past experience. Paul was well known, respected, admired for all of his past achievements, practicing the law of the Judaism religion. But Paul, at that time, had it going on. Paul was known as the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to say he was a top dog. He was a model Pharisee. He was exceedingly zealous. You see, Paul had a zeal for everything that he did. But once he met Christ, he realized that it was not according to the knowledge. Remember, Paul was the one who prosecuted the saints for their belief in Christ. As far as righteousness by the law, Paul was really blameless because he did all that the law asked him to do. But now he's willing to suffer the loss of all of this prestige, you know, riches and fame. He's willing to give it all up to follow Christ. You see, we have to ask ourselves in our Christian walk, what are we willing to give up for Christ? What are you willing to walk away from? What are you willing to suffer loss in? And that's the thing we have to ask ourselves. You know, if we accepted Christ as our Savior, yes, we are saved. And sometimes we have to evaluate ourselves and say, I'm saved, and now what? You have to look at your life once you have received the newness, and became a new creature in Christ, and look at your life and see what has changed or what need to be changed. You need to be trying to figure out what I need to bring in, but you also got to figure out what to let go. You see, we have to realize, and Paul is saying in this scripture when he said that he's willing to suffer. You see, he's saying that because just as Christ has suffered, Paul knew we shall suffer as well. And you might say, why do we have to suffer? And Paul tells us in the scriptures so that we can know him. By the experiences of going through some kind of suffering, as he went through, we are gaining an intimate knowledge of what it took him to do what he did for us. You know, when the movie The Passion of Christ came out, some people wasn't able to look on at the movie when they saw how Jesus Christ was just suffering, how he was whipped and beaten and just really ridiculed. And he did all of it for us. You see, so now we have tests, trials, tribulation, and sufferings. And we have to realize how toned down our suffering is, because God knew what we could bear. But it's really almost as if we are given a little taste of walking in his shoes. We have to realize just because we love Jesus Christ and we have accepted him as our Savior and our sins are taken away, it doesn't mean that a Christian won't go through situations. But, oh, God has given us his word. He has allowed his spirit to dwell within us. And he allowed his son to go to Calvary for us. But it doesn't mean that we won't have trials. But the thing is, you have to realize that everything that happened in this world, your trials, tribulations, adversities, nothing happened unless God orchestrated or allowed it. And you see, while we are here on earth, which is the land of the dying, we are being prepared for the land of the living. You see, we are here being prepared, molded, shaped, and designed for our intended purpose that God has established for us before the foundation of the world. You know, there's a saying that say, no pain, no gain. You know, and God only allows us to go through to either mature us, to have us to turn away from or turn around from. And as it happened with Job, it was only a test. You know, there is a very good reason why we have to go through. And I just want you to let you know plenty of times. People say, oh, I'm going through. You, when you learn and know the hand of God on your life and you learn what the word of God say that God will do for you, you realize that some of these times you're not actually going through, but you're going to where God wants you. If we do not understand these things and really know Christ, even in our Christian life, we must experience some good, some bad, and even some ugliness to understand that God's grace is sufficient. And if we look at the next two verses that we say we would expound on tonight, verses 12 through 14, the verses reads as follows. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect. Paul said, I'm not coming to you like I have reached some level of perfection, or I have obtained all of the knowledge that I will obtain before I die about Christ. He said, but I follow after, if that I have apprehended that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ. He said, I'm still being worked on. You know, like plenty of people say, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. And we learn newness every day. We may have read a scripture 10 years ago and read it today and get new illumination and revelation about what is being said. Paul says, so I'm not there yet. And I will never be perfect because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But he says in verse 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, but this one thing I do. He said, I forget those things which are behind, and I'm constantly reaching forth unto those things which are to come. He said in 14, the last verse, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, just like Paul, none of us are perfect or have fully apprehended or fully understand all that there is to know about Christ. That's why he said, I press. That's why he said, I have to leave the past in the past to be able to go forward. If anyone could have thought that he arrived, I think it would have been Paul. You see, he always kept in mind that he wasn't there yet. Because you see, when he wrote the book of Romans in the 3rd chapter and the 23rd verse, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He didn't want to rest on all that he had achieved, but always wanted more of Christ, realizing that he must continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Remember, this is a man who had many visions of the Lord. He was caught up in heaven and had seen things that no other living person could see. Now, you know, that'll give a lot of people the big head. He had written so many books in the New Testament, 13 to be exact. But his attitude was, I need to keep it moving. You see, when he was faced with execution, you know, Paul was martyred for his desire to follow Christ. And he was martyred, but when he was facing execution, the thing that he asked for, he wanted his books so he could keep it moving and he could keep growing. You see, this world is designed with all kinds of things to make us discontented with ourselves. Oh, she have a big house. I need one. Oh, she have pretty eyes. I wish I had pretty eyes. Oh, she is finer, and he got a better car, and all of this, just the way the world designed and is driven by Satan to make us discontented with ourselves. You see, every day I speak to several people, and there is real trouble on every side. But we must realize first that we are humans, and we're full of emotion. Many of us have loads of regrets. Some people carry around things from their past and even their present hurts and feelings of overwhelmness. So many people I talked to this week was overwhelmed about this thing or that. You see, some was overwhelmed because of financial problems. Many I spoke to had problems with their health. And many was having grief because the loss of their family members. And if you look around, that is all around us. And that's why I say we're in the land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. Because in eternity, there will be no more death. And then there was some that just called because they just didn't feel like they could get out of bed. You know, if we're not careful, we can become consumed or paralyzed by these emotions. And it was the same Paul in Philippians 1:6 that encouraged us to be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is letting us know that the work that God done in you, be confident. He's going to complete it when Jesus comes. This lets us know that God is able to keep us in all areas of our lives here on earth and then through eternity. You got to hold on to the trust and the blessed assurance that God has given us in his word. You see, we have to live in this world, but once we accept Christ, we are no longer of this world. And I want to tell you today that life will deal us hands that we may not want, but we have to play the hand that is given. And when we get the hand, we don't always get a chance to throw it back. So then we have to keep it moving. You see, just because we love the Lord, we are not exempt. You see, Jesus told us that if we accept him, that he will take away all of our sins. And he did that on the cross. He did it. But I want to let you know one thing. Jesus took away your sins, but the consequences of those sins belong to you. And I just have a little bit more to go with the program on today, but I wanted to pause to let you guys know that you're listening to Face Your Fears. You know, and the regular host and the owner of this radio station is Evangelist Norma Chapman. She wasn't able to be here today, and I'm coming to you today on her behalf. The point that I'm trying to make is we're going to have bumpy roads in our lives. We're going to have ups. We're going to have downs. We're going to have failure because life happens. You see, I took and I went to the wisest man in the Bible that ever lived, and I know you guys know that it's Solomon. And I wanted to know what he thinks about this thing called life. And it led me to the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and 11th verse. Now I'm going to tell you what Solomon said. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race was not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor of men of skills. But time and chance happeneth to all of us. He was saying life's going to happen. And just because you're going through something, it doesn't mean God loves you less. And you have to remember that God has established a way to strengthen you in your times of trouble, that you will be able to keep it moving. You see, an attitude to keep it moving can only be achieved by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit is working in you and through you each day, trying to teach you how to leave the past in the past and keep it moving. The Holy Ghost is constantly asking you to forget what lies behind. You see, you can't go forward looking back. Do you remember Lot's wife? You have to play a part when you are trying and understand that you must keep it moving. There's a part you have to play. You have to give God the glory for your breakthrough while you're in it. You have to thank God for what he has already done and then trust him for what you need. You have to be patient and wait on him to move on your behalf because his time is not based on you. God does not take your emergencies and make it his urgencies. That's what people want to do. They get an emergency and they want God to be right there. They call upon him and they expect him to come right then and there because that's what they want. But he's an on-time God, and his will be done. When things are going the way you wouldn't want them to go, I encourage you to hold on to the confession of your faith. You read the Word of God. You study the Word of God. You say who I am in Christ Jesus. And yet sometimes things happen. You can't move on. You just crumble. So the point is, God has given us a way to face the adversities, trials, and tribulations in our lives. And he has given us his word, he has given us his son, and he's given us his spirit that we may be able to keep it moving. So I encourage you tonight to just look to God for every situation in every area in your life. I even went to the Old Testament and I checked out the book of Isaiah and he said that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And I want you to know it still stands today. And you have to keep in mind, weeping may endure for a night, but joy of the Lord comes in the morning. God has made a way. He said there's no temptation that could come up against you that is not common to man, that he haven't given a way to escape. You know, in our lives, we all are going through things, one thing or another. But God is our present help in time of trouble. And we have to remember and realize that God is in control. Anything that you're going through right now, my sisters and brothers, God is right in the middle of it. Nothing take God by surprise. And he makes no mistakes. So we have to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the things of God. Or we will get stuck in our emotions, not able to move and can't keep it moving. Trust the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind. And you have to stop leaning to your own understanding, because usually it gets you in trouble every time. But this was some of the things that I wanted to tell you on today. And I pray that you was able to take some of the information. And I say information because I can only give information, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives illumination and revelation. Again, I want to thank Evangelist Norma Chapman for giving me the opportunity to come before you on today. And I want to ask the listeners to join in prayer for a very special loved one. We are looking for a healing for Sister Lanelle Chapman. And Sister Chapman, dear Sister Wanda. So I was asked to give you that information. And that's our program for today. And what I'm going to do now is lead us out in a prayer. And I pray that you will bless. I pray that God got the glory. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come to you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to let me be able to share your word with your people. Lord, I thank Sister Chapman for giving me the opportunity to use this space to give you glory, to share your word, which is our greatest commandment. Lord, I ask that you bless everyone that called in, and Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit don't allow his word to return void. Lord, and I just want you to know that every opportunity that is given to us, we should share the word of Christ, the gospel, with everyone we meet. And Lord, it is my desire and my prayer that everyone continue to grow in grace and a knowledge of you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you and we come with our petition. Lord, and we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, that you make no mistakes and that you have our best interests at heart. Use us, dear God, in your kingdom. Lord, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. We're living in the kingdom of God. Lord, and I pray that each person began to formulate a commitment to be the best citizen in the kingdom that they could be. Lord, I ask you all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, and I say amen and thank God. That's our